It's a debate as old as time. It causes friction in families. It spurs community-wide debate. It has all but divided our great nation. Some believe it's purely preferential. Others hold fast that the results are based in science. Experts have invested countless hours and consumed mass quantities in the name of research. A wise man wouldn't broach such a topic in such fine company, but this man will. The topic at hand, the best hamburger chain restaurant. We all have our favorites, right? There are goers to the Golden Arches. There are supporters of square patties, subjects of burger loyalty. However, a lot of lists are topped by these two bringers of the burger, Whataburger and In-N-Out. I don't want to start an argument, but in this country of Texas, we know who the winner is, right? So while you can debate its rank, In-N-Out does have an interesting history, which the company president Lindsay Snyder recorded in her book, The Ins and Outs of In-N-Out Burger. And in the book, she explains how a key component of the menu changed because of a broken promise. In-N-Out had an agreement with a major beverage corporation, and that soda supplier promised not to compete with the restaurant, but they broke their promise by buying a direct competitor and entering the burger market. In-N-Out declared they were out of the relationship and altered their beverage options all because of a broken promise. A broken promise can leave a bitter aftertaste. And today, we're going to see a distinct difference between God and people, and that is that God keeps his promises. No matter the cost, God keeps his promises. So our text is Galatians chapter 3, verse 15, through the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 7. It is a chewy chunk of Scripture, and it explains how God gave a promise to and through Abraham. Then God gave the law through Moses to show that we could never earn God's promise. Then, in his time, God fulfilled the promise through Jesus Christ, and today the promise is received through faith in Jesus. God keeps his promises in his time through faith in Jesus. And Paul starts this section by calling it a human example. So the original readers of this letter, they would have understood it as everyday life. So like all of Scripture, today's portion is intended to be understood and then applied to our lives. And that's our goal. So let's pray and ask God to help us do that. God, we thank you for what we're saying, that you have good plans, God, for those who know you and love you, that you will work all things together for our good and for your glory. And God, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, that is here working in us today, and we invite you to use it to change us, to draw us closer to you, to use my words in spite of me, and to draw our hearts to you, God, for hope and for salvation. We give all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So towards the beginning of the Bible, God made a promise to Abraham. And it included a place to live, a big family, and a blessing for all people. And that promise was fulfilled. Slowly. Right? The chapters that we can just skim through Genesis, they represent decades of Abraham's life. And the books that connect the Old Testament and the New Testament, they go through nearly 2,000 years of God bringing about the ultimate fulfillment of his promise in Jesus. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. So God keeps his promises in his time. God keeps his promises in his time. We are conditioned for immediate satisfaction. We don't wait well. We want it now, but God has his own timeline. There's value in time. The Japanese artist Hokusai, who created the Great Wave, he said, "By the time I was 50, I had published an infinity of designs, but nothing I produced before 70 is worth considering." And then right before his death, at the age of 89, he said, "If only I had 5 more years, I could become a great artist." Ecclesiastes 3 says, "God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. God is at work and keeping his promises in his time." Hebrews 10 says, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay." So trust that God is keeping his promises in his time. Right? Because we're tempted to lose hope when it seems like God is checked out. Right? Our feelings want to tell us that God doesn't know, doesn't care, and is not involved in your life. But God himself tells us in his word that there's a hill that we can't see over, and it's his eternal timeline. Right? God's work and his provision for you never ends, but it's received in his time. God keeps his promises in his time. So how do we receive that promise? Verse 22 explains that Scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So God gave us the law, and it's an impossible standard that shows that we cannot save ourselves. The law is like a mirror that you look into, and it reflects your need for faith. So we receive God's promises through faith. God keeps his promises through faith. Romans 4 gives a picture of Abraham's inspiring faith. Starting in verse 13, it says, "God's promise to the whole earth, to Abraham and his descendants, was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith." So the promise is received by faith. It's given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. Because even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. So faith does not look at circumstances. Faith looks to God. Faith does not trust feelings. Faith trusts God's word. Seniors, faith knows that you are entering a new season of life, and faith believes God is in that. Faith knows that you're going to go to unknown places and see new faces, but believes you will see God in that. Faith doesn't long for the good old days, but faith knows that in God, the best is always yet to come. And faith is not foolish, but faith is hopeful. Faith is not immature, but faith expects good things with childlike enthusiasm. And faith does not grow discouraged, but is actually strengthened in waiting with the expectation that God is cooking up something worth waiting for. Have you ever asked God for something and pleaded for something, and his answer was no? And then later you went, "Wow, I'm thankful that did not happen." One of the seniors said, God, close doors and open doors. So sometimes what we feel is rejection is God providing for us and protecting us because he loves us. Sometimes his good plans involve suffering. But it's in his hands. It's from him and it's under his care and his authority. Because faith knows that God overcomes darkness. God mends what's broken. He is the creator and the healer of our bodies. He's greater than addiction. He is the giver of peace and rest. God is our firm foundation in a world that is unstable. So as a result of waiting, Abraham's faith grew stronger. So that means faith is not just hope for the future, but faith blesses us now. So if you look closely at the verses that we're walking through today, Paul gives us benefits of having faith right now, gifts of faith. Having faith gives us new life. When we have faith, we live in freedom. We're adopted into God's family. We're given a new identity. Among those who follow God, there is unity. We have a place that we belong. When we have faith, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. When we have faith, God is our Father. And because of that, we receive an inheritance. So God keeps his promises in faith, through faith. So the most important decision we will ever make is what we put faith in. And faith that inherits God's promises is faith in Christ. Verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. God keeps his promises in Christ. The Bible says that the yes to all of God's promises is in Christ. The promise is answered in Christ, and verse 27 says, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Faith in Christ is putting on Christ. I was curious today how the seniors were going to dress, because you know today's a special day. In every generation, attire gets more and more casual. I noticed it once. We had a varied age of people up here for a certain thing. I don't want to point anybody out. But it went from creased khakis and tucked-in shirts to sweats. Because every generation gets more casual. So I was curious today where we were putting the standard. You all look very nice and respectful. But one day, a guy will be preaching in sweatpants. You just got to get ready for it. The seniors put on nice clothing. When we come to Christ, we put on Christ. And the original readers of this letter would have understood this reference because in Rome, when a young boy grew up from being a boy into a man, his father removed his childhood robe and clothed him in a man's robe. And the change of clothing signified his status, changing from little boy to a man. And faith in Christ changes our status, and it makes us sons and daughters of God who inherit God's promises. We take off the dirty, ragged clothes that identify us as hopeless sinners, and we put on Christ, identifying us as heirs of God's mercy and grace. Do you know the standard response when a woman receives a compliment on her clothing? This girl, this was on sale. It never fails, right? It's a girl, I love that jacket. Oh, girl, this. It was on sale. It's a really nice shirt. It was on sale. When we put on Christ, we're changed and it's noticeable. Somebody says, man, there is something different about you. The response is, it cost everything. God knows me and loves me and gave his son for me, and that changed me. God values you. The Bible says God bought you with a high price. God paid full price for you, and you are his. We were once slaves to this world, but we put on Christ, and he is the dress code to entering God's freedom. Verse 22, the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Those who believe in Christ are given all of God's promises and inherit those blessings. Because when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. Then we put on Christ in faith in him, and now you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. God keeps his promises in his time through faith in Christ. So Paul began this section by saying it should be understood and then applied to our lives. So to apply this truth to our lives and live under the truth that God keeps his promises, we have to do something very important. We have to remember that. Because today, you may experience something that makes you feel like God is not in it. So as believers of this truth, we have to remind ourselves, no, God keeps his promises. It's in his time, and I can have faith that it will be fulfilled through Christ. So we have to remember, Job was a follower of God whose circumstances tempted him to forget God's faithfulness. But he knew the value of remembering the truth that God would keep his promises. He said, "Oh, that my words could be recorded, that they could be inscribed on a monument, carved with an iron chisel and filled with lead, engraved forever in the rock. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and will stand upon the earth at last." He said, "I believe this and I need to remember this. Carve it into a monument. God keeps his promises." Or Moses, when he was telling the people of God how they should follow God, he said, "Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you go to bed and when you get up. Tie them on your heads and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. Repeat it again and again." In every season, in every situation, God keeps his promises in his time through faith in Christ. When you are tempted to trust your feelings, remember, God keeps his promises in his time through faith in Christ. And this is not based on a circumstance. It's not based on something that you have done or earned. It's not based on something you have not done. It is based purely on God's character, on his faithfulness, on his unfailing love. God keeps his promises in his time through faith in Christ. Amen. So who wants a burger after church? Doesn't that sound good? Well, if you were to drive to the nearest In-N-Out, which is about 75 miles away, you would find a Bible reference included with your meal. The bottom rim of the cups reference John 3:16, and the wrapper for the double-double burger references Nahum 1:7, which says, "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him." We can trust God because he keeps his promises. God cannot tell a lie, and he will not go back on his word. And it involves some waiting because it's in his time. His promises cannot be earned, but they are received through faith, and they are all ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God keeps his promises in his time through faith in Christ. Let's pray. God, we praise you for your faithfulness, for your unfailing love. God, that you have pursued us, that you have bought us at a high price. And God, that nothing can take your love away from us. And God, we forget who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. So help us to remember that you keep your promises. Maybe not in the ways that we look for or that we want. Maybe not when we want, but God, in your time. And through faith in Christ, God, you keep your promises. I pray for anyone here who's thinking right now, but not for me. My situation is so bad and so hard. There's no way God's in it. God, would you just remind that person you're there? God, for somebody in the room who's thinking, well, my spouse doesn't show me that, and they treat me in a way that makes me believe, God, that you don't care either. God, would you overcome that? God, there's someone here whose health is failing. Would you remind them that you are in that valley, in that hardship with them? And God, there's someone here today that this may be the best day of their life, and help them to know that that is your kindness and your goodness. So God, in all things, we praise you and we thank you that you keep your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand. We sang before that God has good plans, and we're going to sing that again. Because maybe the first time we sang it, we were agreeing with it or processing it. Now we sing it again as a declaration that God has good plans, that for those who know him and love him, he's working all things together for our good and for his glory.